Welcome to All Things Apostolic for June the 24th, and welcome to all of you Jesus junkies. We're glad that you're with us. I am a Jesus junkie. I cannot get enough of Jesus because he is eternal life, and he has given us life and life more abundantly. So I'm glad that you're with us today. And our primary purpose in life is the preservation and advancement of the kingdom of God on the earth, that the earth may know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the only source, the church is the only source on earth where people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ that breaks the barrier between time and death and eternity and eternal life. That's why what we're doing is extremely important, extremely important. And one of the things you realize about the work of God, about when a person is born again, when they become a child of God, immediately with that, you have become a soldier in the army. With that, you have immediately became a disciple. With that, you immediately have taken up your cross and followed Jesus. With that, you have taken his yoke. It's easy and it's light, but it is a yoke. It is a yoke of ministry. That's not bad. It's because ministry is purpose, and so this gives you purpose in life. That's why this is such a great thing. And it's not only just purpose, but it's purpose that merits your ultimate commitment. There's many purposes in this world. There's many goals. There's many attractive aspirations. But do they merit your total body, soul, and spirit commitment? Do they merit it? By merit it, when you get to the end of it, is it going to be dead end, or is it going to have something good? So this is why the kingdom of God is the ultimate. It is the ultimate wonder of the world. And that I get to be a part of it is just exquisitely beautiful, especially that I am so unworthy. I have done nothing to merit this, but the grace of our good God has given us this chance today. So again, welcome. Glad you're with us. When I talk about the kingdom of God on earth and that being really our mission and ministry, I have good validation, by the way, for that, because Jesus himself said, when you pray, the very first things you say is, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the first thing you do is you acknowledge God's rightful position. The very next thing in the prayer is, thy kingdom come from heaven, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first prayer. I often say the first prayer is not, God, I'm coming to you today in prayer because my toe hurts, or God, I'm coming to you today because I got a headache, or God, I'm coming to you today because I need da-da-da-da, because I need this, or because I need that. No, no, no. The first interest of God is not that every little detail of your life is in perfection in our present existential finitude, meaning our present fallenness, that earth groans under to this day. That's not the first thing. The very first thing is that we focus on the kingdom of God and upon the advancement of the kingdom of God. Do you get that? Do you see that in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. There it is. Thy will be done on earth. Couldn't be clearer as it is in heaven. So this is our mission. This is what we do. Now, you notice he said on earth. That means there is a global there's an implication that changes the way we think It changes our worldview from just myopic, just our little group, our little friends, our little family, our little job, our little house, our little white picket fence, our or maybe it's a gray chain link fence or whatever. Let's don't focus on the fence today. So anyway, the hidden joke in there. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that our focus, when you get in the kingdom of God, it takes your personal, individual, highly limited view and focus of life, and it universalizes that, as I preached that No Limits this past March. It universalizes your consciousness. So before you know God, your consciousness is about buying this pair of sandals, or your consciousness is about meal preparation, or your consciousness is about my job, or your consciousness is about my security, and on of all the things that are part and parcel of life. And then you go to church and you're worshiping and you don't know anything about it, but you're respectful, so you're worshiping, and the Spirit of the Lord comes on you and you repent of your sins and you get baptized in the name of the Lord and you're born again of water and Spirit, which is what Jesus himself said. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. So, but when you are born again, then that little world that you've known suddenly is blown up. It explodes into a consciousness. It universalizes your consciousness. Your consciousness prior to that is like looking through a tube. But now your consciousness is all of the cataracts are stripped away, and you see the big, broad picture with clarity. You never even knew that life involved all of this, all right? And so that all happens, and you get saved, and you're part of a local church. Now, the local church, I'm going somewhere. Now, the local church is the most organic form of Christianity. Somebody says, no, the individual being saved is the most organic form of Christianity. But people getting saved is from the very outset putting them in community, okay? So the 120 got saved. I don't know which one received the Holy Ghost first, but somebody there was the first one, unless they all just absolutely, totally, simultaneously to the splitting of a nanosecond got the Holy Ghost at the same time. But I would say probably that's not how it happened. But whoever it was that received the Holy Ghost, it was only seconds until they were part of community. The church started. It started communally. And so the local church, that means real people with real seats, rear ends, sitting on real wood or whatever, benches, and worshiping together. That's the organic form of the church. Don't ever think that you can just be part of a mission society or a united group of people across the world on the internet that are doing things. Those are important things, but those are what we call para-church ministries, P-A-R-A, para-church ministries. And they means it's churches that, it's ministries that run alongside the organic work of the local church. And so our thinking, our view is global, but our existence and our work starts local. And you have to maintain and nurture and build and grow the local church for it to have the power and the wherewithal to reach into the world. And so there are local churches that are doing that. This is why we emphasize at Wilson University some programs that have remarkably effective results in people learning things, because revelation can be transferred. We found that out learning things that help them to lead their churches into areas that they've never been. So if you're a restless leader this Monday, or later, if you tune in later, this is an important thing for you to understand, that that local church needs to break loose. And the breaking loose of that local church is key to your entry into global ministry. And that's why we talk about the local church so much. It's so important. It's important for the local community, first of all. It's important for families and people and the structure and the spiritual nurture that comes, including not only spiritual, but mental and psychological and emotional. All of these things are caught up and into a healing process in the local church. The local church is so important. There's no other entity in your city or community or state like the local church. Nothing like the local church. Nobody supersedes it in the important contributions it makes to society. And that's why pastoring a local church is so critically important. And that's why we don't want to spend our lives pastoring 20 years at a place, but we only pastored it 1 year, 20 times over, because we didn't take time to learn and to discover some things that are discoverable, but you have to go to sources that where they reside so that you can discover them. So, for example, I have a friend, and I can't tell you his name today. You'll see why in just a few seconds here. But I have a friend who he started a church, and the church started with just a few people, and it has grown. It's really a home missions church, but now it's exploding outward. And I haven't been there for a while. I'm guessing he's now running between 160 and 220, somewhere in there, the local church is, and it's growing. People receiving the Holy Ghost, good things happening right here in America. This local church is growing. It's not an exceedingly large church, but at the same time, it has a mission. See, this is the local church tied to the global. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But first, it's on earth in a place where there is a collective of people who are loyal and are taught and are nurtured and are robustly healthy in spirit and understanding of things in life and in knowledge. And this group sees bigger things and recognizes opportunities. Their eyes are open. Revelation is working through them. And when they see, they recognize opportunity. And so this brother has recognized opportunity in a large Muslim, I would say fairly large Muslim country. And he had an open door in that Muslim country since January this year, 2024, since January till right now, on June the 24th, 2024. During that six-month period, over 100 Muslim families have become Christian, received the Holy Ghost, baptized, living for God. These are things that are taking place in one major Muslim city. There's an apostolic church there that now runs close to 500 people, and they experience persecution. Their church building's been burnt down. The saints' houses have been burnt down. My pastor friend who was over there just a few months ago was in danger, almost got killed from people that are resistant and angry that the gospel is breaking into this long held Stygian darkness, and it's breaking out, and people are recognizing it. That's where the 100 families in the last 6 months have come and been baptized and got the Holy Ghost. And so that's just since January. This is a powerful work that is going on. But it's all coming out of a local church. That same local church has a church in Pakistan, and now it's begun to grow, and it's got about 75 members, and they feed 60 children there every day, this local church does, in Pakistan, and it is growing, and the work has now got tentacles of potential that's coming out of it. It's going to become a great work. It's going to become a great revival breakthrough in that place because of just one local church. So that's why we emphasize we got to get the local church right. We've got to understand the local church. And right here in the Rock Church with our pastor, Miles Young, there's missionary work going on in numerous places around the world. But now there are great new connections in Asia that are opening up to us. This is just in the last month or so. And so we are getting ready to open up as quickly as we can get the buildings finished, which all of the mess you got to go through, the bureaucracy you got to go through, drives me crazy. But anyway, we're getting there. We're going to be opening up soon the Reach Worldwide Epicenter, in which it's going to enable us to be able to penetrate into nations as never before. And all of that. But it's already started in terms of numerous places, groups. There are little groups of people that have found truth. Think of this. It's amazing. Little groups of people that have found truth throughout Asia and other places in the world that we're looking for them. It's a form of find and facilitate. It really is. And those people have no leadership. They have no leadership. They're looking for leadership. We're finding ways to try to help provide and fill that vacuum in their midst, because these people are ready to go. They're ready to grow. They're ready to have revival. And they're the seedbed for revival around the world. So a new Italy opportunity is open. This opportunity, it looks like it could really be big. Pastor was just telling me about it. And he is the one that's God's just revealing to him, because he's put himself in a place where God can do these things. And now you say, well, I don't have any of those opportunities coming to me. Well, they will, but they're coming to him. Well, why are they coming to him? They're coming to him because God knows he's going to do something about them to the extent that he's possible. So what about our local church? What about you in your local church individually, whether your local church is on the ball in this way or not? What about you? Are you sitting around looking at your local church saying, I wish we'd do something? Or are you figuring out how you can contribute through your local church to do something? I'm sure they would be glad to do it if you implement it. And of course, it's certainly true if you're the pastor, but if you're an individual in the church, you go to your pastor, you say, can I help this in some way for us to be able to start doing thus and so, whatever it is. And I hope this inspired you a little bit today. There has never been so many open doors as there is now in my lifetime. And God's given us this opportunity, and we need to be taking advantage of it, and you need to be taking advantage of it. God bless you.